Window World is proud to present Kevin Keatsman Has Issues. Simply the best for less at WindowsKansasCity.com.
For over 35 years, Colonel John Kluck has been serving his country. As the commander of the 139th Airlift Wing of the Missouri National Guard in St. Joseph, the colonel and his troops are called upon to help missions all over the world. Whether it's supporting combat duty in the Middle East or operating massive COVID vaccine sites at Arrowhead Stadium, the 139th is there. It's quite an operation. I've toured it. They're always recruiting young people. They'll even pay education for a commitment to help the 139th when school ends. And it's not just pilots or flight mechanics. It's pretty much anything, as this is a city within a city. On May 1st and 2nd, the 139th gets to be showcased for the entire community as the host site of the Speed of Sound Air Show, featuring the Air Force Thunderbirds. Tickets are free at stjairshow.com. And as the colonel tells us, this is the closest you can get to the Thunderbirds of any air show they will do this year. It's really a unique opportunity, and Colonel Kluck is truly a unique man. It's brought to you by Back9Development.com, the Solheim Condominiums at Grand Miller in Colbert Hills, not too far from Fort Riley. Great military community there as well. Solheim at Grand Mirror is luxury condos starting at $249 and up. They have covered parking, resort pool, fitness club, you name it. Great investment opportunity, second home, or your college kids. It's the Solheim at Grand Mirror, Back9Development.com. It's the numeral, Back9Development.com, or call TJ Vilkanskas at 785-236-0161 for a private tour of the complex. Elite Automation, designing and installing intelligent building systems that could save you thousands off your utilities. Schools, churches, offices, warehouses, you name it. Make your building great again with Elite Automation, specializing in retrofitting your HVAC control system for maximum comfort and mega max savings. What is your building costing you? Call Elite Automation and find out how much you can save. 913-766-2188 or online at eliteautomate.com. And bstock.net, currently with an unbelievable supply of Microsoft Surface computers. 30% lower than you'll find them anywhere else. Online at bstock.net. They can ship them right to you, or you can go to the outlet store, 14680 South Flaming Road in Olathe. Microsoft Surface, the big supply and big savings right now. 30% less than anywhere else at bstock.net. Colonel John Kluck is amazing. I met him a few years ago. I got a complete tour of the 139th. These are great Americans, and they love the podcast. Colonel Kluck, let's do it and talk about that big air show May 1st and 2nd. Hit it!
The KK Has Issues conversation is presented by Roberts Robinson Chevrolet Buick GMC. Shop, click, drive at robertsrobinson.com.
Our conversation is with Colonel John Kluck. He's the 139th Airlift Wing Commander in St. Joseph, Missouri, and they've got a big air show coming up May 1st and 2nd. I've known Colonel Kluck for many years and been to the Airlift Wing and toured all of the facilities, seen all the awesome jets. These are great people. I was even in a simulator one time, and I was not very good at it, as I'm sure he will remember and tell everyone. Colonel Kluck, how are you, sir?
I'm wonderful, Kevin. Thank you.
It's so great to have you back on and hear your voice. What an unbelievable facility and commitment you have to protecting the United States of America. If you could first, for our new listeners here at the podcast, we have people listening all over the country, just tell everybody about the 139th Airlift Wing and what it is that you do there.
Well, right now here at 139th, I'm the wing commander, and we are a C-130 unit that we're called to serve our country and our state, local people, any way we can. We operate 10 C-130 aircraft, Hercules, and we fly them all over the world, and we always have somebody deployed out serving the country's needs, doing the job that the federal government and or our state and local government has asked us to do.
And sometimes that has to do with obviously publicity for what it is that the military do. And I know there's some wonderful events and flyovers and things you've done. And then the air show obviously is a great way to show off not only what you're doing, but the Thunderbirds are coming. We'll get into that in just a little bit. But sometimes it's a goodwill mission to the American public, isn't it?
Yes, it can be. We were the number one wing in the country during 2018's hurricane season down in, all the way from the one that hit Houston and then over into Puerto Rico and things of that nature. We were the number one C-130 unit out as far as flying hours and missions to haul in relief supplies and workers. So it just depends on where we're called to serve. We consider it an honor to do the nation's bidding, and anywhere they need us, we try to go take care of the job.
So how does the Missouri Air National Guard work? How much of this is full-time military? How many are part-time? How do you recruit new personnel? How do you keep it all going?
Well, right now we have 1,100 members of our wing through full-timers and part-timers, and we have about 450 of that are full-timers. So I'd say, you know, a little over 45% are here every day of the week doing a normal 9-to-5 job type of thing. We usually try to recruit out of high schools and some local areas like that to where, you know, when some young people are getting ready to graduate high school and want to go off to college, we offer a tremendous amount of support through tuition assistance and, you know, the Montgomery GI Bill and some signing bonuses to help them offset cost of going to college. And that's where we get them in the door. Usually once somebody's here and they sort of experience what we have to offer and the benefits of being still in the military, it's pretty easy to retain them. I just went over my 35th year of service 3 days ago. So wow. I've been around a long time.
Man, congratulations, Colonel, and thank you so much for all your years of service. So typically if you recruit a young man or woman out of high school, 18, 19 years old, and they want to take some college or do whatever, what is it that they aspire to do? Do they want to fly? Are they trying to become a mechanic? What typically do you recruit? And then what is the path through education / working with you as they do this?
So, you know, we are basically a small city here. And if you come to me and say, hey, I want to be a postman, you know, we have postal people. If you say, I want to be a lawyer, we have attorneys. I want to be a diesel engine mechanic, we have that. Or if I want to fly an aircraft, we have that as well. So as they come in and enlist in whatever they determine they want to do, at that point, they're eligible for full 100% state tuition assistance. So if they want to go to a Missouri state school, they don't pay any tuition. Plus, we offer them, like, say, the Montgomery GI Bill and some other things. And then as they train, do some on-the-job training here for their task at the 139th, that can equate back to civilian careers. One a good example of that, if we have our own air traffic control squadron. So as they come in here, they become air traffic control people, no different than Kansas City approach or the Kansas City Airport Tower. As they come here and train, then that makes them very marketable in the outside world. So they can go out and get, you know, a very highly competitive FAA job and work in Kansas City approach or something.
So what is their commitment to you? How long do they have to work for you to fulfill what you have done for them in helping get their education?
Well, the first commitment is for 6 years. Generally, I mean, there can be some offset to that, but mainly for 6 years. And it's one weekend a month and sometime during the summer, like maybe a couple weeks. It's not a huge commitment. We typically see that after the first round or the first 6 year tour, if you want to call it that, that people typically stay on because at that time, then they've had all their college sort of paid for and they're sort of starting in their career, but we still continue with things like very, very inexpensive health insurance, very inexpensive life insurance and some benefits that the military itself just gives out to its members. So typically people will stay past that, but the first initial tour is 6 years, one weekend a month and basically 2 weeks out of the year.
So we hear so much about the cost of education and kids, more and more young people are choosing to not go to college because of the expense. This is a great way to get your education and do something great for your country, give something back. It seems almost like for the right young person that's looking for something related to what it is that you do there, the perfect option. Do most of them go to Missouri Western? Do they take classes online? Do you have to go off to campus? Do you prefer they stay in St. Joe? How does it typically work?
It's strictly up to them. The only requirement we have out of this is that the tuition assistance aspect of this is strictly within a Missouri state school. So if that's UMKC or if that's Northwest Missouri State, there's a lot of Missouri state schools, so they could certainly get a very good quality education within that network. And, you know, but after that, and whenever they're done with and established their career, like right now we have one of our members that has a pretty successful private business in Charleston, South Carolina. And he flies home every drill weekend because he's from this area. He wants to come back and see family and enjoy serving at the 139th. But he's a very successful businessman on the coast. we have many of those examples where that we are, have a pretty wide network.
Wow, that is absolutely amazing. Okay, we'll talk about some of the things that you've done. I know that you've done all kinds of relief efforts around the country, and you've been involved with vaccines and whatnot throughout COVID. So I do want to get into that. But before we do that, let's spend a couple of minutes talking about the air show. Colonel Kluck is the 139th Airlift Wing Commander in St. Joe, and the Sound of Speed Air Show is top-notch. You have the Thunderbirds coming in, man. I mean, you've got quite a show May 1st and 2nd. Tell me about this year's show.
Yeah, so this year our main act is the U.S. Air Force Thunderbirds. They haven't been here in a bunch of years, so we're excited about having them back. We actually are the second air show in their season this year, and so they're excited about getting back to doing real shows and not virtual type of events. But we're starting off with the Thunderbirds. Of course, we're going to have many C-130 demos because they're our own planes. We're going to have a B-2 and a B-52 flyover. So that we're excited about that. We've got some antique warplanes as far as a P-51, a P-40, multiple other civilians. We've got the Shockwave, the jet engine fire truck will be here running up and down the runway. We've got the Air Force Wings of Blue, the paratroop team from the Air Force. And it's just going to be, you know, we're going to start this thing about noon on Saturday and Sunday, and should run for a straight about 4.5 hours. So it'll be a lot of fun.
My wife's favorite movie is Top Gun, and she loves these air shows. And you've been so kind to invite us to attend, and we can't come because we have a commitment in Manhattan at Colbert Hills with their anniversary golf tournament next weekend. But I'm already writing down next year since the invitation is open. She loves Top Gun so much. She's so disappointed the new Top Gun movie is not out. And I remember from when I was there and the pilots were there, these are the top one percenters, right? I mean, the pilots that fly these Thunderbirds have a reason to be just a little bit cocky about what they do. Tell me what it takes to be a pilot in the Air Force Thunderbirds.
So to be one of them, they have to be a qualified fighter pilot with a set amount of hours and gone through all of their training, and then be basically an operational guy out, and then they apply. So they're already a very qualified pilot in their own right. They're out doing the missions, whether it be deployed overseas for any of the war efforts or some of that, and then they make application into that. There's a pretty rigorous defining, you know, application or interview process. And so this really is, you're exactly right. They're the very best of the very best. And like I say, I don't know. I won't really want to say that they're cocky, but they're very proud, and they have every right to be.
Well, we say this affectionately about people we love. Patrick Mahomes is cocky too, but we love it because he's the quarterback of the Chiefs, right? I mean, he's really good at what he does. When you're that good and that special, you just kind of carry yourself a little differently. And I think it comes with the territory. Don't you think that leads to greatness in some people?
Oh, absolutely. Right. And all of that, you know, you aspire to be a little bit better than the guy next to you. So there's a sort of a constant challenge there to, you know, I just got to be better than my friends. And that really drives the challenge and motivates.
All right, so when the Thunderbirds are flying wing to wing, is there ever a moment that it's not like intense adrenaline? Is there any part of what they do with these shows and these formations that ever becomes routine? In other words, I get on an airplane and I fly to Atlanta, let's say. I know there's moments where the pilots are kind of taking it easy. It's on autopilot or whatever. It's the calm part of the flight. When you're flying with the Thunderbirds, Colonel, is there ever a moment that it's not like complete alertness, adrenaline, and excitement?
No, so every pilot, when they go through pilot training, learns to fly that close formation type of stuff. They call that fingertip formation, and it's basically 3 foot from their plane to your plane. And you have to be, you know, the first couple times you do it, it's just like, holy cow, I'm going to hit that guy. But then after you do it a little bit and get practiced up, it's amazing how you can keep all your sensory items tuned on one thing, and that's stay right where I'm supposed to be. So it's incredibly challenging, but it's, for those that have done it or do it in the past, it's one of the funnest things that you'll ever do, just because you have all your, like say, all your senses are tuned into that one thing, and it's really awesome.
Are the physical demands of that job underrated? In other words, you have to be able to be the pilot. I know your vision is key, your sensory, all of the things that you do. I mean, these pilots are gifted and talented, but there are maneuvers and things that they do that a lot of people physically can't handle. What do you have to be physically? Is there a right or best size or athleticism or something that leads to somebody being a great fighter pilot?
Yeah, I mean, you know, obviously you have to be in great shape all the time. So, you know, that's one of their driving factors. as far as the maneuvers they do, a lot of them will make them pull multiple G's. So they wear some clothing and stuff that helps with that. But basically, if you're under 6 or 7 G's in one of your maneuvers or turns, you've got to be in great shape, or there's just no way you will physically survive it. So they, you know, I know that they train, they make sure that they're always ready to go in that that aspect. And so, you know, they don't want somebody that's too tall. Like, Travis Kelce's probably a little taller than we would need to squeeze into an F-16, if you know what I mean. And, and so they do look for a certain body size and type. And you know, once again, they're just such consummate professionals that they take care of the rest.
You sent a text to me yesterday when you invited me there, and you said there is no place on earth that you can get closer to these airplanes during the show. Explain for me how that is a completely different experience than parking your car a couple of miles away.
Well, so for starters, we have a reasonably small ramp here in St. Joe. And so we keep everything pretty tight and confined. And our ramp and where the aircraft park are basically the same area. So if somebody comes to St. Joe to this air show, they'll be within 20 or 25 feet of the Thunderbirds when they start the engines, and then they'll pull out and taxi right by you. You know, you can almost reach out and touch a wingtip as they go by. So just due to the physical constraints of the ramp and the area where we park the aircraft, you literally will be closer in St. Joe than anywhere else you could go. The rest of the places in the world, they'll have the ramp separated or the aircraft be separated. It doesn't work like that here. We keep them right next to you, and you know, it'd be like being in a major league baseball game and being all set in the dugout the whole time.
Wow. Okay, so what do you recommend for folks if they do this and they get this close? They need earplugs. What time should they show up, and how long should they plan on being there?
SDJAirshow.com. And you don't buy the tickets. You have to go on and download the tickets, but they're free. So it won't cost anybody anything. So I want to clear that up too. As far as what should they wear? Yes, absolutely. Bring some earplugs, and we'll have some around here too. And certainly there'll be vendors that sell fancy headphones and all that sort of thing. But more than anything else, I'd say come a little bit early. As you come out here, we're kind of out on a little bit of an island in this area. You actually have to drive into Kansas for just a little bit and then drive back into the Missouri for the airport itself. And I'd probably try to be here by about, 9:30 or 10. And because it'll take a little while to get parked. It's no different than going to a Chiefs game or Royals game. You know, it'll take you a little while to get parked and get walked up to the area and that sort of thing. The flag drop will happen right at noon, but we have so many acts. We'll probably start about 11:30 as far as actually flying. But then at noon, we'll do the flag drop off the Wings of Blue, and we'll drop those out of one of our C-130s. And then that's the kickoff. It'll run for probably about 4 to 4.5 hours. So I'd say from noon to probably 4:30, and the Thunderbirds will be the closing act. So they're out about 30 minutes. When they fly, they stay up for quite a while. So when that's all done with, then we'll wrap it up for Saturday, and we'll get ready again for Sunday and do it all over again.
All right. So the website to download your tickets is stjairshow.com. See, I'm now at an age, Colonel, where I couldn't fly one of these things if I try, because when I see stjairshow.com on a piece of paper, I think it says St. Joe. So so that's on me.
I apologize about that, Kevin. I just want to make sure everybody gets an opportunity to go to the right spot.
No, we'll get it all cleaned up, and I'll attach it here and put it in the text, and I'll link the entire thing. We'll make sure everybody gets to the right place. We want them to come out and you know, have a great day, but support the troops and the men and women that make this country go and keep our freedoms intact. And the folks at the Missouri Air National Guard and the 139th Airlift Wing, the work that you guys do there, this is great. How is it that you have the one show that is the closest you can get to the Thunderbirds? Is it just physically what your air base is, or are you just special here and wanted to make sure it was that way?
No, well, there's a little bit of both. I mean, we like to think we're special, so we're going to stay with that as the first answer. But, you know, it's physically the way our air show or our airfield is. We're a joint-use airport that we share with our city. And just due to where we have our aircraft parked and where their taxiways and stuff are, we literally park right on the taxiway. So it just the nature of the way it's all laid out, we really – in 2018, when the Blue Angels were here, I mean, when they came out and started taxiing in front of us, you could have easily reached out and touched a wingtip. It was just right there. Then you feel the heat of the engines and the thrust and the power and all that sort of stuff. It's really quite a show.
Yeah, and it's hard for me to describe for people because I know they have air shows. They've had them downtown in Kansas City and different places around. This really is, of every place I've ever been, the most accessible and wide open space to see these planes perform and the maneuvers that they make. I mean, you really have a remarkable space there.
Yeah, well, thank you. We do, and like you say, I shared the story of a couple of days ago when you walked out of the Sim building that day when the Blue Angels came right across the top, and you were just so impressed about how they were right there. And you're like, you had to plan that. I was like, no, I didn't plan it. That's just the way it is. So I think that was an event that you'll remember, and I hope that many people can come to the base and have more of those this weekend.
It is goosebumps and hair raising. It was unbelievable when that happened, and during the show, you'll be even closer than that as they go flying by. I think that was unbelievable, Colonel. I'll absolutely never forget it the rest of my life. Do you want to take a shot here before we talk a little bit about what your folks do there and some of the missions you've been on and things that you've done in deployment? You want to take a crack at how bad I was at the simulator, at the flight simulator?
I think you were good. You know, no. Honestly, I think there's a second career for you whenever you want to come up and start doing a little flight training. Maybe we can get you in and get you spun up. I think you did great.
I think if I remember right, it was talking to me saying something like pull up or pull back or something. I was so out of whack. I missed the runway several times and had to pull up and just go back up in the air and try to land it again. I don't know how many passes I made before I bounced it onto the ground, but I couldn't hit that runway to try. It just kept telling me to pull back, pull up, and then off I went and circled back around and tried again. I couldn't get it right.
Well, it's a team sport, so, you know, that would be like me trying to run the microphones. I couldn't do that either.
Well,
so
apparently I don't do it very well either because I can't read stjairshow.com on a piece of paper because it's right in front of me and it couldn't be more clear, which is wonderful. Colonel, let's talk about some of the deployments and the things you've done. I know that you've been involved in a lot of hurricane relief or things around the world where there are devastations, weather events, you know, things of that nature, and then we'll get to the pandemic and what you've been doing for the last year or so. But really, it's a mission not just in America, but everywhere to help people when help is needed, isn't it?
Yes, of course it is. And like I say, I mentioned the hurricane relief we did from 18 because we were very proud of that. We actually were the first aircraft in several of those locations when the hurricanes went through. But we're also, this past summer, we deployed to the war effort. You know, we still have responsibility to the federal mission, and there's still men and women in the Middle East right now defending our country. And we were glad to send about 200 of our folks over there this last summer and fall to do our part of that. You know, it just, you kind of just watch the news cycles. And if you see something pop up, you're like, well, I'll probably get a phone call on that in the next day or two, and we'll have to go do our part to help.
You're saying I have here is the sun never sets on the 139th Airlift Wing. So where you're needed, you get sent. You have people currently deployed, and you're preparing for large deployments in the future. Is that something you're constantly doing, is preparing for large deployments? Is that a big part of your mission statement?
Yeah, it really is. You know, that's part of our goal here is that, you know, we answer when the call is made. We just can't, like I say, we did that last summer and fall. We did that mission, you know, our deployment over there. Now we have this coming up fall. We'll do a different group of people on the wing. But, you know, we have that cycle and they'll go for, once again, another 6 months and be scattered all over the Middle East and, you know, doing what we need to do and what we're asked to. So we're very proud of our men and women that go and do those things. And, you know, we hate to see them leave, but we know that there's a reason for it, and we're proud of them for doing it.
So how difficult was it to operate through COVID-19, not just in protecting your men and women there at your base and make sure you didn't have an outbreak or something spread through your base, but also in the work that you've done over the last year? How challenging has that been?
Well, I mean, it's a challenge for everybody in the country, but, yeah, ours as well. You know, we were getting ready to deploy for this warfighting effort, and they, you know, if we would have had one of our members get sick or go, you know, get what we call dirty. I mean, I hate to say that, but that's what we call them. So one of our members got dirty, then it would affect everybody on that crew. And so it just had a tremendous impact throughout. So we had to keep everybody pretty well confined. And, you know, we followed strict guidelines. You know, if you even feel bad, don't come in. If you're running a temperature, don't come in for 2 weeks, that type of conversation, because we wanted to protect everything that we needed to have to go fight that mission.
Man, that is awesome. And so what are a lot of things that you've done over the last year?
Well, we started off early on with helping out with the Second Harvest Food Bank. You know, there was a lot of those sort of things as far as helping food distribution. We set up a bunch of mobile testing sites that throughout the city of St. Joe and this surrounding area, you know, when people were wanting to come in and get tested, we did a bunch of, you know, that type of stuff. We helped out with some of the employers where they were trying to test their people because it's a big logistical nightmare to try to test 1,000 people, you know, but we could help with that. And we did, you know, requests were sent up through the state and we were glad to do more part. Right now, our big mission is that we've got about a little over 150 people out doing these mass vaccination sites, and they're scattered throughout the whole state of Missouri. And, you know, I know they did one in Arrowhead Stadium and they've done them in multiple places, but where they'll have, you know, 1,500 or 2,000 cars come up a day and we process the people and you know, get them all lined up and sort of do some traffic flow stuff and some logistical support and help them get their vaccines. And we've been doing that pretty much constantly since the end of January timeframe.
My personal opinion is the vaccine rollout has gone very well, and pretty much everybody in America has access to it at this point or has had it. And, I think it's amazing. I think we will look back, and I know there's a lot of politics and a lot of criticism and a lot of stuff out there that we can say we did right, we say we did wrong. We can second guess somewhere down the road, but I'm not sure throughout humanity there's anything in history like this where something was global, it concerned every person on the planet, a vaccine was developed so quickly, and it was made available so quickly to so many. And I know you must feel really proud of your troops there that have been a big part of that as well.
Well, I can't say enough about it, nor can state leadership. I get two or three calls every day saying, hey, we were at this location and we ran into this member of your wing or that member of your wing. And I had so many wonderful comments about how professional our members have been, how appreciative of those that have wanted the shot have felt. I've had the opportunity to go around to all the sites and visit with them and visit with the locals they're supporting and just walk out through the line of cars and just say, you know, how you feel. And those that want the vaccine are just so grateful to get it. And it's just so, it makes me so proud to be part of, you know, to be the head of the wing that's doing, making a lot of that come to pass. So, you know, we're glad to have that civic input and that level of impact on our local environment and hopefully get our economy back to where we want it to be and going hard.
It's impossible for people like me and most of the listeners of this podcast to even remotely say how appreciative we are of what you do and all of your men and women. It is quite remarkable what you do. And you've been around this for 35 years. You've said when the air show starts on Saturday and Sunday, is it still a thrill for you? I mean, you've been around these planes and these shows and flying your entire life. What's your day like during the show? Do you have some VIPs that you're with? What is your day going to be like Saturday and Sunday?
Well, of course, in my role, there's going to be some VIP action, as you can imagine. You know, that's enjoyable as well. You know, I'm excited about that. But I also feel like this, you know, for our team and our wing here, this is a full wing effort. So if that means at some point I'm out carrying bottles of water, if somebody needs them, or if I'm helping dump trash, or cars, then that's what I'm going to go do. And I'm going to be right there with every member of my wing working hard to make this happen. For me, as far as the excitement level, you know, I love to, you know, basically throw parties and I love to host and entertain people. And that's effectively what an air show is. It's just one on a really big scale. So super excited to have some of the local community leaders that will be here, you know, come share in some of what this is our way of paying back the local community, you know, all the way down, you know, such as yourself and partners in the Kansas City area as well. This is our way of paying them back for the support they've shown this wing. And, you know, hopefully we'll continue to show it. It's a team effort on every level to keep us in the here and doing a good job. And I think the impact we have on the young men and women that we can, you know, not only ask to come serve with us, but also that we serve them through whether it's student loan or student tuition assistance issues or just helping them get a start in life and a good solid basis of where they can always be successful. That's important to us.
Well, we know you'll have a great show and a great weekend. And again, Colonel, I can't thank you enough for all the great service that you've provided for our country and all of your folks at the 139th Airlift Wing. You are absolutely amazing. Your facilities are amazing. The work that you do is amazing. We cannot thank you enough, and we'll encourage everyone to go to stjairshow.com. That's stjairshow.com, and download your free tickets and get your tails to St. Joe and see the big birds with the tails up in the air this weekend. It's going to be amazing, and I just thank you very much for joining us and talking about the mission of what you do there with your wing and the great air show you're going to have next weekend.
Well, thank you, Kevin, and like I say, I'm totally psyched that we got to get together today. And you know, you and all your listeners, we can't do this without anybody that's supporting us. So we're all part of this team effort together. I'm glad you're on our team, and I hope that we can get together sometime again and continue to grow that relationship. So thank you for allowing me to come on and talk about what I'm super proud of and couldn't be happier to be a member of this wing.
All right. Thank you very much, sir. Appreciate you very much. Thank you.
Thank you, Kevin. Good day.
Take care. All right, there is Colonel John Kluck. He's amazing. 139th Airlift Wing Commander in St. Joseph, Missouri. It's the Sound of Speed Air Show, May 1st and 2nd, stjairshow.com. That's stjairshow.com. Download your tickets. They're free, but get your ticket to attend if you'd like to go, stjairshow.com. And I mean, Colonel Kluck, when I was up there a couple of years ago, it was just amazing. We went up and did the live broadcast of the radio show there. They put me in a simulator. They toured us through the jets. The Blue Angels were there. They were flying around all day. I got some great pictures on my phone of them just flying by. They were practicing. It is absolutely amazing. They will be having practice runs. If you can't make it Saturday or Sunday, they will practice a lot of the events on Friday during the day and in the afternoon. So if you're near St. Joe and you want to see it, there's a lot of the practicing going on with that airfield, takeoffs, landings, formations, all kinds of stuff. It is not the air show itself, obviously. And it's not as close as you will get if you're on the base and right there by the runways and whatnot. I mean, I can't even describe it. They've got grandstands set up, 10,000 people lined up and down the runway. You're just not going to get any closer than that. But if you can't make it Saturday or Sunday, know this. If you're anywhere around the area, they'll be flying on Friday afternoon as well. There's no formal show or ticketing or anything like that. But you will see a lot of the cool jets, including the Air Force Thunderbirds will be there, which is pretty unbelievable. Colonel Kluck is... This is where, you know, I've talked a lot about on this podcast, you meet people in sports that get to a high level, and we just think because they got to the high level, they're great. One of the places that I've never fallen short, when I see somebody gets the high level in the military, they really are great. I mean, it's a different deal. It's different than, you know, God rest his soul, whatever, Gunther Cunningham being elevated to Chiefs head coach. All right, he did it because he was just hanging around long enough. Now, Colonel Kluck's been a colonel for a long, long time, and he's the wing commander at the 139th in St. Joe, and he's just a stud. I mean, there's no other way to say it. And when we've had military people on the show here and talked with some of the people that are very high up and had great careers in our military, they're amazing people. There's just no other way to describe it. They're amazing at their commitment to America, their leadership, their inherent leadership qualities, and he is that guy. That is an easy man to root for, respect, and be thankful that he is on our team for sure. If you want to learn more, go to stjairshow.com. If you know a young man or lady graduating high school or around that age that isn't sure how they're going to go to college, this is a great way to go. They'll pay it for you. You give them a commitment. You have to do some work for them. They'll help you pay your way through college. If you're looking at something related to aviation, and you heard him say it right there, whether you want to be a postal worker or a lawyer or a mechanic or a pilot. They're a city within a city, and they need people to do all of those jobs, and they love getting them right out of high school, training them while they're going to college and getting their education and paying that for them, and then having them fulfill their commitment, and they go on to have unbelievable private careers outside of the Air National Guard. Just a remarkable program that not many people know about. And just like everyone else, it's all about recruitment. You got to let people know the opportunities are there. But if you've got a young person you know that wants to go to college and they're not really sure how they're going to pay for it or make it happen, consider contacting them at the Missouri Air National Guard, the headquarters at the 139th Airlift Wing in St. Joseph, Missouri. Very easy to get a hold of them. You can find them online. And if you're in a program under Colonel Kluck, you are on your way to being a winner. I can promise you that right there. And the air show is going to be terrific. May 1st and 2nd, the Sound of Speed Air Show. The website is stjairshow.com. The special edition of KKHasIssues.com was brought to you by Buck Roofing. 24/7 emergencies or a whole new roof. You'll sleep well knowing Buck Roofing fixed the roof over your head. Fry Orthodontics, 12 locations. The first appointment is free. If you mention the podcast at Fry Ortho, your smile is just the start. And, of course, Joslyn's Jewelry, 95th and Antioch, online at joslynsjewelry.com. Guys, you might want to get in there. Mother's Day is a couple weeks away. It's the jeweler you'll recommend to your friends and family. That was fun. Colonel John Cluck, the 139th Airlift Wing Commander from St. Joe with the Missouri Air National Guard, on Kevin Keatsman Has Issues.
Thanks for listening to Kevin Keatsman Has Issues. For additional VIP-only podcasts, live streaming of breaking news, sports wagering tips from the experts, and in-person special events, visit kkhasissues.com and become a patron for as little as $5 per month.
This has been a production of Crooked Tail Media, Incorporated.